Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to, glory. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let's just worship God a little bit here for a moment. Hallelujah. How many of you know God is good? He's faithful. He answers prayer. And how many know when we have things in our mind and heart, sometimes we all need prayer, amen. We need deliverance. We need to be set free. How many know? Anybody ever here, you ever needed to be set free? Maybe your mind was bothering you. Hallelujah, amen. I've needed to be set free before, and sometimes we have to make a decision. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to love Him, amen. Hallelujah. And so with that in mind, I want to remind us, I need it as much as everybody, but I want to remind us that we do have pre-worship service here, 30 minutes before each service. It's just a time where you can come, you can worship God, pray a little bit. I mean, if you get here a little bit late, you know, for pre-worship, just come on in and join us. Amen. It's all right. We're going to try to keep that a practice. Amen. I know sometimes we all get a little slack. I've gotten slack before. Amen. We get to talking to our friends here, and we enjoy our fellowship, but we have that after church, right? A couple times a month, so amen. Next Sunday, we'll have another one, so bring your food next Sunday, and we'll have some fellowship, but let's also have fellowship with the Lord and prepare our hearts for the service so that all of us are ready to receive and to release your supply into the corporate setting. How many of you know we have a corporate setting here? You brought your supply today, right? Amen. Y'all have one. All of us are children of the Lord. We all have something from Him to give. And hallelujah. We have people that need to receive some things too. If you need something, we want everybody to be in that position also to add their faith. Amen. To help each one of us when we come with prayer requests, when we come with need. Amen. We know who we are in the Lord. We've been learning, haven't we? To what? Submit ourselves to the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee. There's a place of surrender that brings authority with the King. When we surrender and say, Jesus, have your way, authority moves in and chases that devil out, doesn't he? He must flee. He has no choice. He has no choice. Amen. Hallelujah. He has no choice. Our place is to continue to press with the King. Continue to believe. How many believe you're going to have somebody talk to you this week? Amen. Come on now. So get you at least one of those papers so that you got somebody. You say, hey, this word church is right here in the back. If you open it up, it'll tell you how to come to Jesus. I mean, you say, well, I don't know how to lead somebody. You can just sit there and read it together. Read it. It's just a 3 or 4 scriptures, very simple, very easy. And you can say, you know, I really, would you like to pray and receive the Lord into your life? And sometimes people don't say anything, but they'll listen to you. And you just end up saying, well, I'm going to pray right now. Okay. You know, let's pray right now. Just pray after me. And they can receive. And even if, you know, you say, well, I'm not sure if they meant it in their heart. Well, at least they'll know what to say when they do get ready. Amen. They'll know who to call out to. Amen. And the seed will be planted deep in the heart. Amen. How many people have confessed Jesus as your Lord? So we want to remember pre-service, but we also want to remember we can each one reach one. I'm going to reach somebody. I'm believing God. I've got a few people that I've been talking to. Hallelujah. Amen. Instead of buying your neighbor a cup of coffee, buy your new neighbor, your new friend a cup of coffee. Amen. Let's talk to him. Say, hey, you want to get a cup of coffee? Praise the Lord. Whatever. Whatever it takes, amen, befriend them. And I know that's the most thing that happens. You know why most people come to church? You have any idea? They say, from statistics, most people come because they were invited. Now, occasionally, you might get one person that saw the cars in the parking lot and said, I don't know why they're going to church. Let me find out. You might get one person like that here and there. But most of the time, it was because someone invited them. And I know when I was in the third grade, I invited my friend, and I told him if he didn't get in church, he's going to hell. You know, I was a hard-nosed preacher. I wouldn't even save myself. You know, that was my idea. But praise the Lord, he did give his life to Jesus. Called me when he was 18 on Christmas, the Christmas day that we had both turned 18 that year. And he called me and made sure I knew. He gave his heart to Jesus, and he's in heaven today. He had a lot of problems with his health. He had terrible diabetes and died at age 42 in 2008, I found out. But I know one thing, I'm going to see him again. You know, and sometimes we don't know what seed we plant. It may not seem like anything's happening, but our faith is going to continue. Amen. And we're going to keep praying, and we're going to keep believing God. Amen. Well, how many are believing God for some money? Are you believing God for some money? We all, you know, it seems like, you know, I'm not trying to get your greed up, but, you know, we all need it to live in the earth. Hallelujah. And scripture today is Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. I want to read this and just praise God for our offering today. There's people that have given today, and some of you may have given online. If you didn't know, you're able to go to our website, the Family Prayer Center, CNTRE.com, and you're welcome to give. Even if you don't have a PayPal account, you can give by a card of any kind of debit card or a credit card. You're welcome to do that for convenience sake only. Please don't go into debt to give money to God. He said, as we purpose in our heart, amen, from what you already have, not what you don't have. But our scripture today is Proverbs 10:22, says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Amen. That must mean there are some blessings that can come to you that would add sorrow. Wouldn't you think? He said, if the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and doesn't add any sorrow, that must mean there's some blessings that could add sorrow. How many people have ever seen people that got blessings and it added sorrow to their life? Because they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know it wasn't the They didn't have the blessing of the Lord. They had the blessing of the world or the blessing of abundance of a whole bunch of stuff. But if we don't have the Lord, how many know? The Bible says in the New Testament, even though we can gain the whole world and still lose our soul. So you can gain a lot of things, but when it comes from the Lord, amen. He addeth and makes you rich without sorrow. Hallelujah. That's good news to me. Thank you, Lord, that you're blessing me. You blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You said that all things that pertain to life and godliness belong to me because I'm your son, because of what you have done. And that blessing will not add sorrow, but it'll be a blessing. Amen. No sorrow, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! What a good God we serve. Amen. So if you're able to give today, or if you couldn't give today, let's talk to the Lord about what we can believe for. Say, Lord, I want to get some money going here. Come on. You got an idea for me? You have something that you want me to do? Maybe something on the side that might make more money than your regular job. You know, he can give you one idea. How many know one idea from heaven? Amen. One idea. It could be something very simple. Something real simple. I remember, I shared this before, but I remember Norval Hayes said God told him He said, I want you to take a little money out of your paycheck every week and buy some silver dollars and put them in a safety deposit box. He said, did I do that? He said, no. He said, I was stupid. I didn't know. I didn't realize. I just kind of threw that idea out instead of really praying about it and walking with God. So think about the things that come to you. Pray about them. Amen. He may give you something, you know. He said, well, I was thinking about this, and pray about it. Amen. Make it a matter of prayer. See if it comes back to you. See what the Lord says. Amen. He's got ideas. He has wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. And blessing that adds no sorrow. Amen. And he makes us that blessing. So we want to remember some things. You know, don't forget about that. I mentioned it, but pre-service worship, let's remember to come and prepare our hearts and be in worship before we actually have our worship. Amen. And it just flow right into the next, and we'll have our hearts ready to receive the word of God that he is speaking today. Father, we do thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you for the understanding of it. We thank you for your wisdom and grace that you, Holy Spirit of the divine communicator, the divine teacher. And this morning, Lord, as we look into your word for a few moments today to see what you would have to say, open our eyes, Father, fresh and new. Lord, don't let it be old to us, but let it be new and real. And let us take it to heart and see the areas of our life where we can apply it. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen. You know, I was taught when I was in I had a really good youth teacher when I was in the young people's group at our church, because he would always tell us one thing. How does that apply to your life? That was kind of the question that we would ask. Sometimes we would just read some scriptures and say, okay, how is this applying to my life? And when we read the Bible, we don't want to just read the Bible just for knowledge's sake, but we want to say, how does that apply to me? How can I receive that? Or is there something new? Maybe it's something you already know, but how can it be applied differently to me today, Lord? How does this speak to me? How many know you? Have you ever... Anybody ever here have to apply 1 John 1:9 to your life? You know, maybe at one time it was not necessary, but there comes a time when each of us, maybe we missed God or we needed to apply it. Say, Lord, how does that, what can I do? And we had to realize, hey, God has forgiven me. I have to what? Forgive myself. And we say, that's how I can apply it to me. I believe, Lord, that your blood is enough. And I release my faith that I am cleansed and I'm made right with you, Lord. And that's not going to happen again, Father, because you empower me. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your forgiveness was complete and total. And I just want to thank you, Lord. I admit it, Lord. I missed it. I humble myself. See, another type of what? Surrender. And even though today I want to share a little bit about mothers, really, I want to go back and I want us to talk about Eve, the mother of all living. There are many powerful women in the Bible. Do you understand that? There were. There are a lot of powerful women in the Bible. Some were positive and brought influence, positive influence, but others were not so positive in their influence. And but how many know we all needed a Savior? And there are others that they started out without good influence. Maybe their life was a wreck, but they came around and gave their heart to Christ. And he's the great what? Redeemer, right? He's the great changer of the heart. But this morning, I just want to share a few thoughts and see where we go. I don't think I'll be real long. I want to have a little bit of time. We're going to take communion. this morning, because I think it's important that we remember some things, and I think it'll go fitting with our message this morning. I'm going to stick pretty close to my notes today, and I believe, no promises, but I'm going to do my best. But let's turn in our Bible, and my first scripture here is over in Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 9 here, and we'll get started. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Well, we see here, first of all, God formed man, and we came out of the dust of the ground. So now, you know, of course, when we live, we know when we eat things. How many know all that we eat really comes from the ground? Even if you eat an animal, it ate something on the ground. Amen. All the minerals we have, they say, are in the ground. When we look at our bodies, obviously, without the breath and life of God, we are but dust. He breathed into us and gave unto man the breath of life, or if you look into the Hebrew, the breath of lives, and we became a living soul. The breath. The New Testament says we are but a vapor, a wisp, you know. If you have a little spray can, that's your life. So it appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Our life on this earth is pretty short. But here in the beginning, we have the breath of life, the creation of man. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the breath that you have, the life that you have? And really, God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And I want to talk a minute here. It says Eve. Now we know we have Adam and Eve here. But how many know that Adam began to dwell in the garden? God gave him a job, and he said to guard and to keep the garden. In other words, one way when you look it up and look into there, it says keep it from danger. In other words, outside of the garden, there was lurking a danger that wanted to come in. And how many know, you and I, sometimes we have an enemy, don't we? We have an enemy, the devil. He would like to come in and destroy your life. And as long as Adam and Eve were submitted to the will of God and the purpose of God in the garden and kept the guard up, Adam, stay on guard. Keep that garden. Begin to name the animals. And that's what Adam began to do. And whatever he called them, that's what they were. He saw the little ones flying through the trees with the tail. We know what they are, right? That's the monkey. That's what the English word is. You know what Adam called it. And he noticed that the monkey had a female monkey, and they had companionship. There was more than one monkey. And he realized, these are the elephants, and there's more than one elephant. But there's only one of me. Where is my companion? Where is my helpmeet? Adam began to think. He began to desire, and he felt perhaps, I mean, in the perfect garden, you know, something's missing. Well, And he began to say, perhaps he walked with God, talked to the Lord about it. I don't know for sure. But Adam began to desire someone to communicate with. Someone that was like himself. He knew something on the inside of him. He says, these animals, they've all got somebody, but they don't fit me. He named the animals, maybe even talked to some of them, I don't know. It was a different time, a perfect world. But none of them seemed to be suitable or be able to really satisfy him or communicate with him. He was desiring something more than himself. And we know that because of that, God made the first woman. She was created by God to be Adam's co-partner in life. Initially, man and woman were called Adam and were one in purpose, one in heart. Their choice to disobey God dissolved their unity and opened the door to sin and death. Yet, through Eve, God promised redemption. Isn't that interesting? Women are both beautiful and powerful. Their influence is great in the lives of men, children, and the world itself. The kind of power and influence that they have depends on what has happened inside the heart. Women can be manipulative, evil, and controlling. Or they can be supportive, godly, helpful, and empowering. It all depends on one thing. What's hidden in the heart? What really resides there? Where does that heart belong? Does it belong to God? Or have we given it over to selfishness and sin and the evil way of the enemy? The Bible's full of examples of powerful women, some who use their influence in an evil way and others who used it in a positive way. We all know the great Jezebel, right? She was evil, wasn't she? She used her evil influence in a negative way and tried to destroy a nation, tried to destroy people. But how many know there was a great lady named Sarah? And the Bible says she gained strength to believe. And she continued to believe and she grew in faith and in companion with God. She wasn't perfect, but she grew. She continued to allow God to change what was in her heart. And they birthed someone named Isaac, which became, amen, Abraham's son Isaac, who became Abraham, who was the father of faith. And through his son came Jesus, through the lineage that she gave birth unto. Amen. So both the Old and New Testaments, they give many examples of women. They use their influence correctly to make positive impact. They were women just like you, facing the same struggles and challenges, but they overcame them to become the influencers and not the ones that were destructive. Amen. And we can be positive influencers. So we see here that Eve was the first woman to live on the earth, the first woman that was mentioned in Scripture. Of course, she was created and formed by the very hands of God, a complete and perfect woman. Man, if you ever wanted the most perfect woman, you can find her. She was right here in the very first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings. formed by the very hands of God. And you say, well, why do you know? How do you know, Pastor Doug? You've never seen her in the flesh. No, but the Bible says she was clothed with the glory of God. That was her clothing. Woo! When God brought her to Adam, he said, whoa, man. Woo! God, you did good. She looks like me. And God called them Adam or Adam. They were one. They walked together. There was a unity. There was a oneness. In Genesis chapter 2 here, 7 through 9, we said this already. We read that scripture. That's where God had made Adam. And he tells Adam in chapter 2, verse 15, says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And when you talk about what does that mean, to dress and to keep something, to cultivate it, to develop it, to make it better, to produce, to allow it to grow, to mature. Hey, Adam, here's your garden. I'm giving you a job. I want you to cultivate this garden. I want you to take care of it. I want you to dress it. I want you to protect it. I want you to let it grow and become better than what it is. As perfect as Eden was, God expected man to take it to a higher level. He wanted to be even better. Hallelujah. How many know God always expects us to grow, to increase, to mature, to come to a higher level with Him? See, sometimes we think, you know, we listen to mankind, you know, and they think we're evolving. You know, man, oh man, has evolved. Has he evolved that much? I still hear rumors of war. I still see wars going on. I still see the hatred of men. I really don't see a whole lot of evolving to a higher level. It seems to me we've remained much the same. But that's without Christ. That's without God. That's without His redemption and His plan. But here in the perfect world, God wanted them. Whatever God places into our hands, whether it be our marriage, our children, our business, whatever it is, God wants us to cultivate it and make it better. He wants to be a good steward of it. I mean, if you start a business today, and most businesses, I don't know about you, anybody here ever started a little business? I had a little handyman business. I didn't start making, you know, it didn't start out at $100,000 a year. It didn't start out at making big money. It starts out at what? Right where you are with the one job, which was, you know, maybe it's $50 or $100 or whatever it is. It starts out one step at a time. And what? Over time, as you are faithful, consistent, and you're honorable, and you do the right thing, and you do a good job, people hear of you, and then it increases, and maybe your business increases a little more, and you hire a second person part-time because your work is so much, until finally you're able to hire a few more, and eventually it grows as you are, what, faithful, committed, honorable, have integrity, then people hear of you. Why? Because you gain a good name. It doesn't happen overnight, see. And we all know children are just perfect just right when they are first born. Praise the Lord. I know I was. I don't know about you, but no, I'm kidding. But of course, as you know, I mean, they have to be trained. They have to be taught. Nurtured by their mom, their mother, and loved and cared for and disciplined and prayed for most of the time. Amen. So we have things that God wants us to do and to continue to make better. In addition to dressing the garden, God also appointed Adam, as we already mentioned, to keep it. The original meaning in the Hebrew means to keep it from danger. In other words, there is a lurking. Hallelujah. God has informed Adam that there was an evil presence outside the garden and would try to find its way in. And we know the predator's name, don't we? Satan. Since Adam was head of the garden, God needed to inform him of his archenemy. Of course, Adam understood that his responsibility was to obey God and protect the garden, and thereby keeping the devil out of the garden. As we said before, there is a safety and an authority that comes in surrender to God and obedience to Him. Amen? Praise God. But we're to make no mistake, Adam understood his assignment. In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, God had given him the assignment. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof thou shalt surely die." So his orders were clear. Disobedience to this commandment would open the door to the devil and allow him to enter in the garden and flood the earth with death and destruction. And we know that Romans 5:14 says what? Through one man. Let's read that a minute. Romans 5. Verse 14, and then we'll read 17 here. It says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." It was a figure. "Nevertheless, death reigned over them." And if we jump down, just for time's sake here, verse 17, "For by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Yes, there was a death that came through Adam, but how many know there's a life that comes through Christ Jesus? A life that enters in and destroys what the enemy had tried to stop from the beginning. Amen. Now, Genesis 2:18, let's go back into Genesis here. We'll probably stay in there mostly. But I want us to see that because there was a promise that was given. Of course, Genesis 3:15, which we're going to get there in just a second. I got to hurry up here. Hallelujah. But right now, let's go to 2:18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And when we take a look at that, it literally means one adopted to him, one adapted to him, someone that is adapted to be just like Adam. God described the woman as Adam's helpmeet, which is the picture of a partnership. In other words, they came into being, and we talked about that already here a minute ago, but there was a partnership. And it's crucial for all of us to realize that in Christ, what happens, I've been reading more about this because I think it's important that we realize women become co-rulers or co-partners with their spouse. That is the implication we find in the phrase, helpmeet. In lands where the gospel is stifled and darkness reigns, women are often treated as slaves. But in Christ, women are elevated to a co-ruler or co-partnership position with their spouse. This is what God gave Eve. Together, Eve and Adam's heart beat as one. It didn't mean they were exactly the same, but their heart was one with God and one with each other. Now, if we look at verse 19 and 20, it goes on to say this, and out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he's going to call them. And whatever he called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there wasn't found an helpmeet for him, or one that was adapted to him, one that was like himself. And he's crying out. Adam was busy about his work and naming the animals, and notices the pairs, as we already said. I mentioned that earlier. Got a little ahead of myself, but praise the Lord. So he's saying, where's mine? He must have asked. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. He walked with God in the cool of the day. What'd they talk about? Did you name the animals today? Yeah, I was naming the animals today, Lord. Father, I just realized I don't see one like me. Everybody else seems to have, there's two of everything, but not me. There's just one of me. Oh my goodness. Now this is good, ladies. You get ready. He says, where's mine? He must have asked. And the Lord, and so he's talking to the Lord. I'm sure he asked him to deal with this dilemma. In verse 21, the next verse here, says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And it took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. So he took one of his ribs out and then closed him up. And I think that's very interesting. One of Adam's ribs. And while Adam was resting in the Lord, God went to work in his behalf. He's answering Adam's prayer, creating a solution to Adam's dilemma that he couldn't really put into words. Under the supernatural anesthesia of God, he performed the first surgery on Adam and birthed woman out of man. The first man to ever have anything birthed out of him physically. Sorry, men. You can't have babies. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you think you're a woman or you identify as a woman. That's okay with me. Just realize it's not going to happen. It's not your place, and you don't get to do that. I'm sorry. It just didn't happen. Which, it means in the original, in the Hebrew, when he takes that out of his rib, it means part of his side. In other words, they took it part of Adam's side out of him to create the woman. Why was part of Adam's side used? Now I'm going to read a little bit here, and it says, as one anonymous source has said, she was not made out of his head to surpass him, nor from his feet to be trampled on, but from his side to be equal to him, and near his heart to be dear to him. God created a helpmeet for Adam that was his equal partner, who would co-rule the earth with him. They were to be heirs together of the grace of life. God's original purpose. Now in 1 Peter 3:7, if you remember what that says, men, this is a good scripture for you. We're coming back to you, ladies. We're not done yet. 1 Peter 3:7. I may have to carry this on some more, but it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs, what, together of the grace of life. Isn't that interesting? That your prayers be not hindered. See, a man is to love his wife, not to rule over her, not to make her submit, but to acknowledge her as the weaker vessel, signifying that women, you know, it makes it seem like, what does that weaker vessel means? It describes a treasured vessel that is fragile and should be treated as precious and priceless. It doesn't mean inferior to, but God's intention from the very beginning was for man and his wife to be co-heirs of the grace of God, not rivals competing for the top position, but to walk together, hand in hand, side by side, and to rule in the earth as co-heirs. Now, of course, we know the problem. Sin entered in. And everybody says, oh, yeah, that Eve, she was deceived. But really, they were equally responsible. Yes, Adam had told her, don't eat of that. And somewhere along the line, maybe he even told her, don't touch it. Maybe Adam told her that. I don't know. You know, God didn't say that. He didn't say you couldn't touch it, but you know, maybe Adam said, don't even touch it. You know, just leave it alone so that she wouldn't touch it. How many know you? Well, she did have sin in her, so it's not quite the same. But, you know, tell a child, don't touch that. You know, what's going to happen? Pretty soon they're touching it, you know. And so what do? You slap their hand, right? And then they go try to touch it again, so you slap the hand. Now, some people just take things away, but my mother, she slapped your hand. And then, you know, and then you try the other hand, you know, because that hurts. And she slaps that hand, right? Pretty soon you learn, hey, don't touch that. Why? Because it hurts. And they don't touch that after a while. We train the flesh. See, we train the flesh with something in Eve and Adam wanted to taste. The devil tempted them. Deceived them, saying, you'll be like God. And I don't think it's really changed much. Anybody ever hear that? You know, that's kind of the way it is today. People try to be their own God. Well, I am God. That's the devil's lie. I am somebody in and of my own self. Bless God. Bless God of all things. I don't know why they say those things, but you know, bless myself, you know. But that's the devil's lie, that you can be like God in your own self, in your own power. No, we were. They were already like God. They'd be created in his image, clothed in his glory. See, when Eve was brought forth, it was like a precious vessel. I mean, this was like a spectacular presentation to Adam. Someone like himself to walk with. Man's heart was to have a companion. To be that they could walk together and cherish one another. Love each other, rule together. Not that they were exactly the same, but they were yet one. She had come from his side. Perhaps God breathed in him the breath of lives, knowing that there's going to be two within you, Adam. Took that part of him, made her. We are one. We are Adam, Mr. and Mrs. Adam. We are one together. We are co-equal. That means women can preach the gospel. Women can be part of the kingdom. They can walk with God hand in hand, just like the man, clothed with the glory of God. There's no greater beauty, women. The Bible says it's the adorning of the heart. He said, don't be so concerned. It's not that the outside shouldn't look nice. It does. You can beauty it up. But he says, let it be the hidden person of the heart. Let your adorning be the things of the Lord. Let him be your beauty. Let him be your glory. Let him be who you know, and let his life shine forth through you as you oversee the different areas that God has entrusted to you. Women have that beautiful nurture of a child that the man doesn't quite have. Dad comes in, make sure that's done. Okay. You know, it's not done. Bang, bang. You know, get it done. Hurry up. You know, he loves the child. He loves the child greatly, but he knows he's got to learn some responsibility. Amen. Now, mama knows that too, and she'll train him. But there's something about mama's nurture. Mama loves that boy no matter what. That boy went to jail. Yeah, but he was the best robber, I tell you. He robbed better than the rest of them. But she's praying for the recovery. Mama doesn't have any quitting sense. Mothers don't stop. Mothers don't sleep. Mothers continue to work. Mothers take joy in raising their children, even when it hurts and it's difficult. But they never give up. Why? Because they continue in the presence of God. They take the place that God said in Genesis 3:15, and take it very seriously, because he said, it is through woman that I'm going to, it is the seed of woman, 3 verse 15. He said, I will put enmity, devil, between you and the woman, and between your seed, Satan, and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, there's coming a redemption that's going to come through the seed of that woman. Women, you've got power. Women, you have influence. Women, you can change the world. Your life may not look like it's so great and grand. It may look like I've got to stay home, take care of the kids. When you're young, when you get older, they're gone. I'm alone. I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. You know? They're growing up too fast, God. Why? Because you love them. And you want to see the world. What? You're taking care of your garden. And you're allowing it to be elevated to a higher level. How many in here, you want more for your children than you had? Amen. All men that I know, my mama wants more for me. I know Brother Hagin wanted more for us. He said, shame on you if you don't take this gospel further. We're going to take this gospel further. But there was a redemption that was coming through the woman. He didn't say through the man, he said through the woman. And it did come. And the Bible says what? Man comes from woman, woman from man. In other words, there's a co-equal reigning. It's not that you're the same. Women are normally a little more fragile, not quite as strong as men. We're seeing that in the world today. We need to allow women to be who they are. It's okay to be a helpmeet. It's okay to come alongside. Recognize your place. And then let's honor and cherish our women. Cherish our mothers today. Say, hey, thank you, Mom. if you haven't called your mother today and she's still around, hey, Mom, just want to let you know I love you. Even if you're out lost, somebody hearing this, you're on the run from the law, call your mom and let her know you're okay. Say I'm still alive. Just to let her know. She'll be glad to hear from you. Because mamas don't give up. If you're running from God, you may as well give up if mama's praying for you. It's over. The devil's not going to take her babies. I got news for you, devil. You're going to lose. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But let me tell you something. When mama decides, it's over. There's coming a power that's coming through her prayers that's going to change the world. It's going to change your life. And you're going to be a part of it. Amen. So let's not give up. Let's keep seeking God, ladies. We welcome you today. We honor you today. We thank God for all the mothers and the women and the mothers-to-be. Praise the Lord. We honor you. Let's stand up for a minute. Father, we thank you today for your word and for a few thoughts. I didn't really get near as far as I was planning, but that's okay. Let's think about this morning, Lord. We just want to think about how we can take a few principles of improvement, Father, that have been placed into our lives since the beginning of time, Lord. And Father, you want us to take our place, our lives, Lord, placed in your hands, our marriages, our children, our businesses, and continue to allow you to help us work, Father, to improve them and to cause them to grow and to think about what you have placed in our hands, Father, the gifts that you've given each one of us, how we can work with the Spirit of God to help us bring about your life in this earth, to bring about your desires, Father, and to continue to improve and to walk together in our homes and in our marriages as co-rulers and co-partners, Father, as husbands and wives. And to be honest, Lord, with ourselves, are we treating our wife as our co-partner or co-ruler in our marriage? And what evidence can we bring you, Lord, that we show that, Father, we are honoring our wives and our mothers, Lord? And help us, Lord, as we rest in you, Father, that you'll go to work on our problem, Lord, helping us to create a solution that Adam couldn't maybe put into words in his own heart, Lord. He hungered to see a helpmeet, and you brought her forth. And Father, in the problems that we face in life, help us to look to you, Father, and to trust you, to rest in you, to bring about a solution, Father, that you will ultimately bring the answer. And fathers like Eve and Adam, Father, we've made mistakes that brought about consequences. But when we turn to you, Father, in repentance, you take our situation, you turn it around for good, and you take time, Lord, help us to take time to forgive, to surrender ourselves to you in every situation, Lord. We want to honor you. We want to embrace your forgiveness today. Lord, we thank you for your truth. Help us to apply that to our life and to allow us to walk with you, Lord, and to guard the garden of our heart, Lord. And to help cultivate it, and to cultivate the things that you have placed within our hands. In Jesus' name, Father.